Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Value Setters, Inc. conference call. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode, and we will open the floor for your questions and comments after the presentation. It is now my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Coreen Kraysler. Ma'am, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Catherine. Hello, everyone. This is Coreen Kraysler, CFO of Value Setters, and with me today, remotely, is Cecilia Link, our CEO. We are delighted to welcome you to Value Setters' third quarter investor call. Today, we will give you a short presentation to review financial results for the third quarter of fiscal 2020. This slide presentation is available on our website at valuesetters.com in the investor section under events and presentations, and a recording of the call will be made available on our website shortly after its conclusion. Please be sure to note the safe harbor disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements on page 2 of the presentation. After our remarks, the operator will open up the lines for questions. Before we begin, we are sure that the coronavirus is on everyone's mind, and we hope that all of you are healthy and safe. As a technology-driven company, we at Value Setters are fortunate that we have been able to seamlessly transition to working remotely, as our top priority is the health and safety of our entire team. Regarding the impact on our business prospects, many people are worried about the impact on small and medium-sized businesses, which is our target market. Since our capabilities include the use of automation and technology to successfully complete capital raises, we see the potential for increased demand for our services, and we have already seen an uptick in the number of conversations with potential clients. As to the supply side of the capital equation, we believe that the current state of events could accelerate the shift to online fundraising, as it eliminates the need for face-to-face meetings. We also have some exciting news to share with you. We have hired a new Director of Business Development, Carol Murko. Carol has an AB in economics from Smith College, a master's in international economics from NYU, and is a CFA charter holder. Carol is highly experienced in institutional sales and was responsible for bringing in $15 billion in assets when she worked at State Street Global Advisors. I had the pleasure of working with Carol for several years at Independence Investments, a John Hancock Manulife subsidiary, and have firsthand knowledge of how talented she is. She is also an entrepreneur in her own right, having founded several companies, and she brings to us a wealth of knowledge and experience. We are absolutely delighted to have her as a member of our team. Welcome, Carol. We also have positive updates on several of our portfolio companies. King's Crowd is building the first independent and unbiased data-driven online private markets rating and analytics platform powered by AI. King's Crowd maxed out their offering on Net Capital, raising over $1 million. This is in addition to the recent news of their acquisition of the Newchip Accelerator platform, which increased King's Crowd's investor community by tenfold to more than 100,000. This transaction has cemented the company's position as a leading provider of ratings and analytics for online private capital markets. King's Crowd is clearly a company on the move. Deuce Drone designs, builds, and operates drone delivery systems, enabling same-day delivery for retailers. The company's raise on Net Capital quickly vaulted to the top 1% in momentum rankings of all equity crowdfund offerings last week. One of the company's founders, KJ Hardrick, is an MIT aerospace engineer and has a strong social media presence with over 75,000 subscribers to his YouTube channel. His recent video, 21-year-old startup founder, My Life at MIT, has already had over 14,000 views. He will be documenting the Deuce Drone journey on YouTube going forward, and we encourage you to follow this journey with him. Zelgor is building a galaxy of interconnected mobile games, to take advantage of the $100 billion mobile game market, and their offering is currently live on NetCapital at netcapital.com company Selvor. The company is supported by several renowned investors, including Tim Draper, founder of one of the top VC firms, Draper Fisher Jurvetson, and Nolan Bushnell, the creator of Atari, among many others. The mobile game space is highly lucrative with multiple high-profile success stories. Pokemon Go, for example, generated $2 billion in revenues and was bringing in $2.5 million per day at its peak. Selvor has several games in development, including NoobTube and Noobs in Space, which will soon be available on Android and iOS. The company also recently announced a partnership with DisruptorBeam, which is best known for working with major media franchises such as Game of Thrones and Star Trek. Selvor will utilize the company's Disruptor Engine, a platform consisting of UI tools, services, and best practices that will enable Selvor to speed up production in a quality fashion that scales efficiently. We are very excited about what the future might hold for Selvor. For those investors or potential investors who are new to the company, you should know that the Value Setters management team is paid in stock. Management's interests are therefore completely aligned with shareholders because we are major shareholders ourselves. Our CEO, Cecilia Lang, controls 37% of the shares outstanding through both her direct interest and her beneficial interest as CEO of Backstar. As CFO, I personally own 5% of the shares out. So together, we own or control 42% of the shares of this company. As a team, we have put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and we care a lot about taking this company to the next level. And we have delivered strong results for shareholders. For example, we have now achieved 5 consecutive quarters of profitability. Through the 9 months ended January 31st, we have generated net income in excess of $1 million and grown book value to more than $1.2 million. Most importantly, all of this growth was self-funded. We have not had to rely on any outside borrowing since the quarter ended January 31, 2018, and we have been gradually repaying existing debt through operating cash flow. For the first 9 months of fiscal 2020, we generated net income of $1,162,100. Revenues increased by 465% to just under $1.6 million. In addition, we delivered a gross profit margin of 99%, which represented an increase of 8 points. For the quarter, we generated net income of just under $600,000, an increase of more than 4,700% from the same quarter last year. Revenues increased by 524%, and we generated a gross profit margin of 99.6%, an increase of 11 points. Looking at our profit growth trajectory, it is important to note that the earnings for the first 9 months of the fiscal year were double what they were in all of fiscal 2019. We have also improved the balance sheet dramatically since taking over management of this company. That is most evident in the growth in shareholders' equity over that time. When Cecilia and I joined Value Setters, the company had negative equity of $2.5 million. We have now achieved positive shareholders' equity in excess of $1.2 million, and this should continue to grow as we generate earnings. Investment balances grew by 218% from fiscal 2019 year-end to over $2 million. This was driven in part by our stake in Deuce Drone. For those who are new to Value Setters, we are a boutique advisory firm. We help companies at all stages to raise capital, as well as provide strategic advice, technology consulting, and digital marketing. We charge fixed fees for our services, and these fees are generally paid to us upfront before we begin work, which is beneficial to our cash flow. In select cases, we do take equity stakes in promising technology companies as well. On the consulting side of our business, our experience and proven results continue to attract clients. Cecilia, Carol, and I are all professional investors. Carol and I are chartered financial analysts, and I am a registered rep with 30 years experience as a Wall Street analyst and a former five-star Morningstar rated portfolio manager. Cecilia is a highly experienced angel investor with Launchpad Venture Group, in addition to her significant experience in high-profile leadership positions for major tech companies. Because of our investor experience, we deliver unique capabilities to clients. We are able to craft their messaging to appeal to both retail and institutional investors, and we are able to reach out to our deep network of potential shareholders. We also have experience in starting, selling, and growing successful businesses, in addition to political and economic development expertise, while our marketing capabilities include expert targeting and analytics. Driven by our proven and unique ability to drive investors to online private capital offerings, we have developed a strong track record. If you go to our website at valuesetters.com under track record, you will see that we have successfully completed several multi-million dollar equity raises through online funding portals, and potential clients are taking notice. In summary, we generated strong improvement in our financial results this quarter, and we have seen significant progress from select portfolio companies, including Kingscrowd, Deuce Drone, and Zelgor. Also, our highly accomplished Director of Business Development makes an exciting addition to our team. We look forward to showing all of you what we can accomplish together. Now I will turn the call over to our CEO, Cecilia Lenk, for closing remarks.
Thank you, Corrine, and welcome shareholders and others. We're very excited to have you on this call, and I just want to reiterate what Corrine said at the start of the call. We hope that everyone is healthy and safe, and we will get through this next phase of our world together. As she said, we have an exceptional team, and we're so pleased to be able to add Carol to our team. She brings a wealth of experience that will really help us build and grow Value Setters. I think that this is an exciting time. I'm very proud of where we're going, and I look forward to the continued growth and successful future for Value Setters. I think we should open it up for questions now.
Catherine, will you open up the call for questions?
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is now open for questions. If you have any questions or comments, please press star 1 on your phone now. We ask that while posing your question, you please pick up your handset if listening on speakerphone to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold a moment while we poll for questions. Your first question is coming from Brian Holden. Your line is live.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you ladies doing today?
Oh, we're doing very well. Thanks for joining the call.
Thank you. I had a question for you. It's really a no-brainer.
Okay, that's my favorite kind.
Okay. But the new regulations that are coming forth from the SEC in regards to Reg CF being capable of raising 500% more revenue than the past, or $5 million dollars to be exact, does that, you think, give you an upper hand? And do you have control of your cost to where we can actually see revenues possibly go up 500% in a quarter as the result of the passing of this legislation?
Well, I certainly can't predict how much our revenues will go up, but it's certainly a significant positive for us that they have raised that limit, and we should see an uptick in the number of potential clients that we see as a result of that. I think it was really, really beneficial that they raised that limit, and one of the reasons that's really, really important is because it will allow us to utilize our digital marketing abilities more effectively, because we will be able to raise more and more online, you know, five times as much online as we were able to raise in the past. So thank you for your question.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Your next question is coming from Richard Newberg. Your line is live.
Hi, Richard.
Hi. Good afternoon. I hope you guys are safe up there.
Oh, we're super huddled up in our own homes with plenty of groceries and blankets. How are you doing?
At least we're in Florida. We're warmer than you.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Yeah, it's pretty shut down now. They pretty shut down.
Yeah.
I live in a village called Golden Beach, and it's pretty much shut down.
Yeah.
Gates and everything. There's just no traffic out there.
Yeah.
All right. I want this about Carol Merkel.
Yes.
Nice CV.
Oh, she's awesome.
Obviously, you know from a previous situation, which is encouraging because she came back to mom.
Yeah.
We
are so excited that she's joined our team. I worked with her for a while. She's super impressive. She's really energetic. She's really upbeat. She's really, really, really a people person. She has tons of contacts. She's already put us in touch with several potential new clients and some really exciting people who might be able to work with us as part of our team as well. So it's just really, really positive for us.
I guess in the way she sounds, she's a self-starter.
Yeah.
And you know, her engine.
Yeah.
The second question I know addressing is the amount of shares you have outstanding.
Yeah. My favorite question, Richard.
I can imagine.
Nobody's ever asked me about that before.
Oh, I'm sure. it's just that after 35, 40 years experience in the market.
Yeah, right.
And in order to move it from point A to point B.
Right.
A billion shares out there. But 950 million, whatever it is a different animal than having stock at a medium price.
Right.
And it just, because you guys are sitting on gold. Management there is gold as far as I'm concerned. And I prefer you don't get stock here because you get more stock here for the price than it's higher. So it's good and it's bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm in favor of some type of reconsideration for a possible reverse or something to get it down to a more manageable level.
Richard, do you think that that's consensus view, that most people would be in favor of something like that?
I think once all the facts are presented in a clear and logical manner, I think they would lean towards that, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for that feedback, Richard.
You're welcome. And stay away from 6 feet. 6 feet. Or is it 8 feet?
We're staying far away from everyone.
Thank you. And congratulations on Carol.
Oh, thank you so much.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions or comments, please press star one on your phone now. Your next question is coming from Craig Severson. Your line is live.
Hi, Craig. How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you. My question I have, just, you know, from, I like to look at all the sources of what people are saying and everything. And so one of the problems that people seem to have is the interconnectedness of everything. Would you be able to describe, you know, the relationships between all the businesses?
Sure. Could you just elaborate on what you mean by a problem in the interconnectedness? Is it a problem with they don't understand how they're connected, or they have a problem that they're...
Yeah, the way the separate finances are kept and everything, you know, that just seems to be a concern that people mention.
Okay. Know. Well, I think that I understand what you're saying. I will try to answer your question, and if I don't answer it,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but like, you know how I mentioned the social media usage is used great for the companies that you're promoting and everything. So, you know, obviously I think that if value setters, if people knew what was going on and everything, that would be helpful too and hoping the price, but certainly what Richard said about the amount of shares makes sense as well.
Okay, that's good feedback, Craig. I appreciate that. So we have several equity stakes within our ecosystem. So our ecosystem consists of King's Crab, Value Setters, and Net Capital. And Net Capital also has a relationship through Livingston Securities, which is the broker-dealer. And I am a registered rep through Livingston Securities. So I have dual employment technically. We do have a 7% stake in Net Capital, and we have a our stake in King's Crowd is in the double digits, and we have a 19% stake in Deuce Drone. So because our stakes are under 20%, we do not include any of their financials within our financials. So none of their net income, revenues, or anything that they generate within their own companies, none of that is reflected within our financial statements. The only thing that's reflected is anytime we do work for them and have a contract and generate revenue by doing that work, that is the only time you will see the impact on our financial statements from them. Does that answer your
question?
Thank
you. Oh, yeah, that was perfect, and yeah. You know, and I like the company since the moment I saw it last year. I thought, you know, the thing was interesting, and you know, it still seems to me like we're in on something that's getting started and is going to be big.
Yeah.
But you didn't mention ORPC or Brady. You don't have any equity in those, right?
We have not disclosed any equity stakes in either of those companies. We don't always take equity stakes. You know, it's a dance, right? Because we want cash as well. And sometimes we're emphasizing cash flow more than other times. And sometimes we're, you know, more excited about a company and we're willing to work for all equity. You know, it's just a balancing act.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Well, thank you for the answers. And, you know, looking forward to the rest of the year here.
All right. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Me too.
We have no further questions from the lines at this time.
All right. Thank you very much, everyone. Oh, it looks like we might have a couple in the queue. Do you see that, Catherine?
Yes, they just popped in. Your first question is from David Lau. Your line is
live. Hey, this is David. I'm still new to the company. I'm just wondering, you have several investments. I was wondering what investment process you go through before you take a stake for a company, let's say King Cloud or Deuce Drone. Like, what matrix you use decide if this is a good investment?
Okay. All right. So, David, that's a really good question. Thank you very much for asking that. So Cecilia and I both have very deep experience as professional investors. I spent 30 years as a Wall Street analyst and portfolio manager. I'm a CFA charter holder as well as a registered rep. And Cecilia is an angel investor with Launchpad Venture Group. And now, of course, Carol has joined our team as well. She is also a CFA charter holder with extensive history and experience in the investment management field. So we come to the table with a tremendous amount of experience evaluating companies as potential investments. So we use that experience to evaluate companies, and we have a due diligence process that we go through, and it involves, you know, calls and meetings with the companies, and we try to ascertain what we think the market opportunity is. And if that market opportunity is very large, and the company itself has a really important niche and some interesting technology that could really alter the landscape of the opportunity that they're operating in. Those, and we also, one of the other really key things we look at other than competitive advantages and the market opportunity, one of the things that I've learned over many years is that the management team is really the most critical feature, and what is the personality, what are the personality attributes of the CEO of the company? Because when you look at someone like Chris Lestrino, who's CEO of King's Crowd, he really impressed us as someone with an extremely positive outlook, extremely energetic, really hardworking, and really a team player. And these are some of the critical things that we look for, because we have seen over time that if a CEO has more of sort of a bullying kind of behavior, or kind of an angry, not really a people person type of thing, that those companies often fail. So we really, really look for not just the market opportunity and competitive advantages, technology, but also the quality of the management team, particularly the personality and style of the CEO. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, this is good to know. And another question, like, how long do you plan to hold this investment? Like, this is a long-term investment, I assume. So do you plan to hold it like 10 years, 20 years?
All of the investments we make, we plan, you know, we have to plan to hold them forever. You know, ultimately, there may be a situation in the future where one of our holdings is sold or there's an IPO, and then we could reevaluate. But we assume at the outset that we're going to hold the company for a very long time.
All right. That's good to know. All right.
Yep.
And one more question.
Sure.
I noticed you're although you generate a lot of income, but you don't generate too much cash, like the operating cash from operating income is not that high. I was wondering, moving forward, do you plan to raise, issue more shares to raise capital? Because if I look at the cash flow statement, I didn't see a lot of cash generated, even though you generate a lot of income.
Right. David, thank you for asking that question. That's the dance I was talking about earlier with one of the earlier questioners.
Oh,
so when we take, you know, it's a balance between when we work for a company, are we willing to work for stock or are we willing to work for cash? And it just depends on what our priorities are at the time and how much, you know, we think an investment might bring us in return over the long term. So it's true, over the last quarter or two, we focused more on taking stock for our work because we were so excited about the companies that we were working for. But certainly we're going to have to balance that in the next, you know, few quarters on working more on a cash basis. And since the close of the last quarter, we have signed another cash client. And so we're, of course, very happy about that. And we're actually really excited about that client and hope that we can, you know, announce that to you all at some point when we have the opportunity and go ahead from the client to do so. So you make an important point. When we work for stock, it affects our cash flow, and we do have to balance. That is why we don't take an investment in every single company that we work for.
Okay, got it. All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Your next question is coming from Jeff Woodland. Your line is live.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the conference call. I have a question about Doustrom.
Sure.
I look at their website, and they talk about using the drone delivery system, leveraging existing infrastructure.
Yeah.
And, you know, drones are hot. Everybody's talking about them. And it seems somewhat unrealistic to me for Doustrom to try and compete with FedEx and UPS and companies like that. And when I saw existing infrastructure, what came into my head was a drone station on top of, for example, a Home Depot at one of the Burton properties. And that the drones would be used not just, hey, here's a drone, use it, but used sort of as a closed loop for Burton clients in that particular property. And So, you know, the individual stores in that property, Petco, Bed Bath & Beyond, Home Depot, could use those particular drones, like I said, in a closed loop. And it seemed to make more sense to me to do something like that as opposed to like, hey, you know, here's a drone, you know, use it. You know, since the properties are already there and the infrastructure is already there, and if it works, there's a lot of Home Depots out there.
Jeff, that is actually exactly what their plan is. So
okay.
I'm glad that you like it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say there's a lot of excitement within the Burton contacts about the opportunity. We have nothing that we can disclose at this time, but you know, it's something to watch for.
Okay, well, you know, the thought came to me of, you know, an auto parts store that has a fleet of trucks, and, you know, here's the delivery, and, you know, out it goes, and then the truck comes back to the store. It's a, you know, like I said, a closed loop. It's not for hire. And, you know, that seemed to me to be, at this point anyway, something of a niche market that is fascinating in my mind. Okay, well, thanks very much for clarifying that a little bit. And I really look forward to that. And, you know, I as a private individual investor, I understand the issues between having cash and having equity. So I think you're doing a pretty good balance. And
thank
I appreciate that. I'm a happy and loyal shareholder. Have a great day. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, please press star 1 on your phone now. We have no further questions from the lines.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. We appreciate it so much. We hope that you stay safe and healthy. And, you know, good luck to all of you. And we really, really appreciate you as shareholders and potential investors. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude today's conference call. You may disconnect your phone lines at this time and have a wonderful day. Thank you for your participation.